handle on the news.
Always been crazy.
Strange creatures, dimensional rifts.
Spontaneous harmony.
I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Good morning. It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill's off today. He's back on Monday. Does anybody remember when this song came out? And up until then, The Cure had been known for a more brooding approach to music generally, right?
Yeah.
And this song came out, and I'm like, oh, do the Archies reformed? This is so poppy. And then it was The Cure. What the heck? Pretty good.
It's a good song.
Yeah. So, before we start Handle on the News, two things. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Wayne.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine. Is there anything you want to share about your Thanksgiving?
The power didn't go off. Everything warmed up great. That was it.
Oh, I was going to ask you that because they did, and we'll talk about this more in Handle on the News. SoCal Ed did shut off some power to some people.
Yep.
For fire mitigation, and just
I kept getting the alert all afternoon. I probably got three, I think, and I kept double checking, and the zone that either I don't know if they ever did turn it off, but it was three blocks from my house. That's how close we were.
Right on the edge of disaster.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gosh, I feel so bad for those people.
Oh, I did too.
But you were unscathed.
Yep.
Thank
Everything
goodness.
Turned out well. Thank you.
Alex is where?
I'm here.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Anything you wish to share about your Thanksgiving?
No, it was perfectly lovely. Had turkey, chilled with the fam. Cowboys got their butts kicked, but what else is new?
Oh,
shade machine.
Well, no, I'm an inherited Cowboys fan, so.
Oh, so this is, I see, you're lamenting.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised.
You understand that the default presumption in society outside of the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, the default presumption is you hate the Cowboys.
Listen, like I said, inherited Cowboys fan. This is not a choice.
I see. It's a genetic flaw.
Yes.
No. Oh. And John, who is Catholic. Good morning.
Yes, also good morning, Wayne. Don't forget that, too.
Same question. Anything you wish to share?
No. You know, grandma and my mom brought it. You know, they brought Thanksgiving. And yeah, it was good.
All right.
Yeah.
Wayne, how about you? How was your Thanksgiving?
I have an observation. Not that this is terribly exciting, but it might be useful to somebody. You have to be very careful how much stuffing mix you buy. Mm. If you're used to stovetop stuffing, if you're used to buying boxes of stovetop stuffing, then you have an ingrained idea in your head about how much stuffing a box of stuffing makes.
Right.
Okay. If you deviate and purchase different stuffing. For example, I'll just randomly pick Trader Joe's stuffing, okay. Box of stuffing. You will learn that different boxes of stuffing make radically different amounts of stuffing. And you will find yourself looking at a pile of stuffing going, oh, well, that will never be completely consumed in this house. I'm going to have to order more Tupperware from Amazon to take care of the leftover stuffing.
Is that a bad problem to have, though, everybody?
Well, it is if you end up having to, at some point, throw away.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, an appreciable amount of perfectly good stuffing because you just didn't, because you're an idiot and you didn't understand, even though the box is bigger. Do you know what I mean? It's not a magic trick. It's not a thing that defies physics where, well, the box is the same exact size. as stovetop, and yet it made 18 times as much stuffing. How could that be? It isn't like that. The box is clearly bigger, but you just have no sense. There's something about the weird alchemy between bread, dried bread cubes and moisture. And it just felt to me like the thing just expanded. It was a tremendous amount.
Was
you could,
it good,
you
though?
Could save yourself from that, from Amazon, and just donate to the John Ramirez Hunger Fund.
Well, I would have, see, if I had known how into day-old stuffing you are, I would have brought it in. But all right. Should we mention the thing?
Yeah, why not?
Pastathon. This is the 10th annual KFI Pastathon, and this is, of course, where KFI raises money for Chef Bruno's charity, Katarina's Club. And Chef Bruno provides meals every day for, I think he's up to over 25,000 kids every week. And this year, man, he needs your help even more. Yes, because of COVID. Here's how it works. Because of COVID, more kids need help. But also because of COVID, it's more challenging to help kids, right? So it's a double whammy. So here's what you can do, and it's so easy. You just go to pastathon.com, and you can donate now. If you want to stretch your legs a little bit, you can go into any Smart and Final store in California, Arizona, or Nevada, and when you check out there, there's a super easy way to donate $10 at the checkout. That provides 14 meals. You can also drop off pasta and sauce donations at the Anaheim White House, that's Bruno's restaurant, every day from now through December 4th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. They make it easy and safe. You don't have to get out of your car, put it in your trunk, drive up, pop the trunk or the hatch, and they have volunteers there who will collect those donations. And then, I guess starting next week, the 1st through the 4th, exclusive live streaming events.
Guess
during
who gets
the
to
shows,
be first?
During the show. The handle show is first?
No, me.
Oh, yeah. So live stream, what's going to happen? Let's give people a little tiny preview. What is it going to be? They're going to stick a camera in there.
Yeah.
And people can watch you do wake up call, but then during the breaks, you can talk to them.
I can talk to them.
They can talk to you, perhaps.
Yeah. We may have a surprise or two. Not quite sure, but we may. And,
well, now you have to.
Well, yeah, I know. It's true. And yeah, but I'm a little bit nervous because Wake Up Call comes across on the air pretty well. It comes across as a pretty put together show. It is an S show behind the scenes.
People love that.
And I'm kind of afraid what people are going to think of me after they watch this.
The messier, the better.
Oh, it's messy.
Well, then they're going to be quite pleased. So anyway, pastathon.com. And donate, please, to Katarina's Club, the 10th annual KFI Pastathon. All right, let's take a break, and then we will begin Handle on the News for this day after Thanksgiving. This is KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I am the hunter.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Good morning. It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill's off today. He's back on Monday. Let us begin. Handle on the News. I know what you're thinking. I just turned on my radio. It's 622. What do you mean, let's begin? We spent some time visiting this morning here on the show and telling you about Pastathon. Please donate now, pastathon.com. All right, here we go. Handle on the News, Jennifer Jones Lee and me, lead story. SoCal Edison made good on their threat to turn off the power to some people on Thanksgiving in order to ameliorate fire risk because of those Santa Ana winds that were whipping up. They did, in fact, turn off the power to several thousand people. Now, they had said it could be over 100,000 people. It didn't get that bad, but there were some people who I'm sure were very bummed out. Now, Jed, you were talking about getting notices about this. I'm not SoCal Edison, so I don't get notices. What specifically is it like when you live in or near a SoCal Edison area? What happens with your phone during the day? How much warning might you get and how much time might you have to prepare for the power to be cut?
It started about 24 hours in advance, so you have to sign up at SCE.com for the notifications. But then it comes up and it'll say something like, the first one said that your zip code is in an area where there are potential power shutoffs. And then the one that I got last night actually said there are potential power shutoffs within the next 1 to 4 hours. And that was at 8:45 last night. Nothing ever happened, but I would go to the website and put my address in, and I would see that it was maybe 3 blocks away that the zone where the power shutoffs were going to happen. So if you are a SoCal Edison customer, I would highly recommend you sign up for those alerts, because at least you get a heads up that something might be coming.
All right. Good advice.
All right. LA County reported over 5,000 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. And they say this isn't a record, but it's darn near close to it. And the big concern, obviously, is now what's going to happen after the Thanksgiving holiday. Did people heed the warnings? Did they have the big family gatherings? They don't know. But as of right now, we are still going up and up and up every day.
I wish they would stop reporting daily numbers.
Well, I wish
they should wait a week. They should report weekly numbers, because you know about this, the weekend effect.
Right.
Where tests are not being processed as quickly over the weekend. Then you get a surge of numbers like in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a double weekend effect probably because of Thanksgiving.
Oh, sure.
And then going into the weekend. So what'll happen is, I think first, it'll look like the numbers are down.
Yeah, Monday when we come back, yes, it will look like the numbers for sure.
And then, boom, there'll be maybe not, hopefully not, but probably there'll be a big spike. I just think daily reporting, if you're not testing, if you're not completing the same number of tests every day, getting the results, daily reporting doesn't mean anything. And comparing one day to the next day doesn't mean anything. It doesn't tell you anything useful.
Yeah.
But they insist on doing it.
Yep.
And we, let's call ourselves out. We insist on reporting it.
Yep.
Oh, deep freeze at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Cedars-Sinai Medical Center is one of the hospitals around the country designated as a distribution site for COVID-19 vaccines, because they have the ability to store them at the ultra-cold temperatures necessary, at least for one of those vaccines. They have freezers that can keep stuff as cold as minus 112 Fahrenheit. Which I assume assuming it was big enough to walk into, I don't know that they are. But just for, indulge me. If you had a freezer big enough to walk into and it was minus 112, I would assume it would be like in cartoons where you would step into it and then your whole body would freeze instantly and shatter into pieces.
Yes.
So that's good. We'll have a distribution center not too far from where we are here in Southern California.
I think I read, and I don't see it in this story, that Cedars-Sinai will be able to store 200,000 doses.
Yeah.
So, which would be amazing.
At a time.
Right.
Not just 200,000 and you're done. 200,000,
right.
And then they give them to people, and then they can stick another 200,000 in there.
I wonder how quickly that will happen. The restocking, if you will, of the vaccine.
That's going to be a logistics issue.
Yeah.
Right. And we know the military is going to be involved.
Yeah.
Or actually, they already are.
Are, yeah.
In the logistics of getting it around. And I will say, generally speaking, although that hammer may cost the taxpayers $1,200, it gets where it needs to go. So I'm sure they'll have it down to a well-honed science.
Yep.
All right, let's pause here, and then we will continue, and we'll be able to tell you where you'll be able to get a free COVID-19 vaccine once they're available, as Handle on the News continues. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Jennifer.
Rain on me.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill back on Monday. We're continuing Handle on the News with Jennifer Jones Lee and me.
Want a free COVID-19 vaccine? Head to Rite Aid. So Rite Aid confirmed it will be offering the COVID-19 vaccine for free as soon as it's available at the locations, at all of its locations across the country, as a matter of fact. And it says we are staged and ready to make this life-saving vaccine available to all communities that we serve.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Oh, now, I think on Wednesday, I was saying this could happen, and it happened. USC-Colorado game canceled because he got some COVID-19 positives on the Trojans' side. And here's what happened. Colorado immediately found a new team to play. They rebooked with San Diego State, and the problem being USC didn't have enough qualifying players. And this is what's been happening. It's different from conference to conference. Okay, in the Pac-12, which covers USC and UCLA and Cal and Stanford and some other teams that we don't care about because they're not from California. They said each school can come up with its own plan if there's a positive test. So one school may say, if this player tests positive, then then just he's out. But another school can say and are saying, this guy, let's say he's an offensive guard. He tests positive. The entire player position is out. All the players on the offensive line, they're out. And that's how you end up with not enough qualifying players to have a game. So that is what happened.
I think one of the cooler things that's coming out of this is last weekend, we turned on the TV. It was a Saturday, and CBS Sports was running the UNLV San Diego State game.
Yeah.
And what I thought was, you would not see that on CBS Sports on Saturday. That would not be a game that they would carry. But I just thought, all right, it's given some other teams, other schools, some highlights that normally wouldn't get the primetime show.
Right, a little bit of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice, except for why.
Well, there's that. All right, now you've got some NFL players testing positive. Let's start with NFL superstar and reigning MVP Lamar Jackson.
Young the Flame, he in sickle mode.
So they just announced it last night that the Ravens quarterback has got the COVID. And then I just read this morning that Larry Fitzgerald of the Cardinals, he's got the COVID too and has been pulled from Sunday's game.
When was the last time a planned Thanksgiving Day NFL game was canceled? I can't recall. But, you know, Steelers-Ravens, sorry, we cannot play on Thanksgiving because of COVID. It's starting to really... Look, it affected baseball.
Yeah.
It affected the NBA. Not to this. I mean, you didn't see quite as many like canceled games and stuff. This is with football. This is really both at the college level and NFL level. You're starting to see a real problem where they're saying, I don't know what the season's going to be.
Yep.
Oh, it's okay. Diego Maradona is probably sitting right next to God right now. Soccer superstar Diego Maradona, which if you want to see two people fight, get somebody from Argentina and somebody from Brazil and put them in a room and go, greatest soccer player of all time, discuss. And it will end in a fist fight. Okay, because the guy from Argentina or gal is going to say Maradona and the Brazilian's going to say Pele, yeah, and that's sure. And then they're going to come to fisticuffs probably. So he passed away this week of a heart attack. He was recovering from a brain operation, and then he had this heart attack and just inconsolable in Argentina. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people lined up just to watch his funeral van go by. Just beloved like you could not imagine. And not just in Argentina. You know where else they are completely consumed with grief? In Italy. Specifically in Naples. Because he played for Napoli.
Oh.
And got them to Italy championships, I think, 2 years in a row. So he's revered like a god there as well. And he's like, you can't say like, oh, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like Tom Brady or it's like, I don't know. Who else? You know, Peyton Manning. Or it's like Michael Jordan. Or it's like, no. It's a whole nother level. If, God forbid, Michael Jordan passed away, I don't think you'd see people in the streets screaming, God is dead, which is what is happening in Argentina right now.
Well, President Trump says he won't overstay his constitutional welcome in the Oval Office. All right, so I actually have a cut of what he said to reporters yesterday.
If the Electoral College does elect President-elect Joe Biden, are you not going to leave this building?
Just so you, certainly I will. Certainly I will. And you know that.
So they ask him, if you couldn't understand what she said, if the Electoral College does elect Joe Biden, will you leave? And that's when he said, certainly I will, certainly I will. But he still insisted it would be a mistake for the Electoral College to elect Joe Biden because of massive voter fraud. And he says it's not possible that Biden won 80 million votes.
He had an interesting day yesterday, didn't he? Because he did that little press conference, the first press conference since the election. And he was sitting at that tiny little desk.
Yeah.
Which is all over the internet now. Yeah. Memes and everything. It's this little table, looked like a side table or something. And then, did you see him snap at that reporter?
Oh, yes.
Here, I have
about
that.
How the yeah, respect. John,
listen to this. This is him snapping at a reporter.
They're trying to look between you people. Don't talk to me that way. You're just a lightweight. Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
Wow. All right. Listen, whatever you think of President Trump, he is a human being. And I feel like he is not the villain of this post-election turmoil. He's not the villain. I think he's the victim. I don't mean that there was massive fraud. That's not what I'm talking about, because I don't believe that. He's surrounded by people who are telling him this. That's his world of reality. Are people telling him there was massive fraud? His lawyer going out and talking about massive fraud, which he desperately wants to believe. So he believes it. What I'm saying is, I think he believes it sincerely. He's not like, we'll lie about fraud, see? And then maybe I'll get to stay. I'll tie Joe Biden to the tracks. Yeah. I don't think that's what's going on with him. I think he truly believes it. And imagine if you truly believe it and you keep losing in court and you have a pretty sizable part of the country saying that you're full of it. And you lost and you believe you were cheated. You would be snappy. All these people around him are not doing this man any good service with this nonsense. Because they're really destroying his psyche. All right, let's take a break and then we'll continue. Handle on the News right here. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill back on Monday. Let's finish up Handle on the News with Jennifer Jones Lee and me. And it's my turn. Sorry. The U.S. government is appealing a judge's order that prevents them from expelling children who cross the border alone. Yeah, what do you do when a kid shows up, there's no adult with the kid? Well, what they were doing is kicking them out pretty quickly without giving them any chance to talk to a lawyer or to seek asylum. So some people went to court and they got a judge to order a stop to that. Interestingly, which judge ordered it to be stopped? Judge Emmett Sullivan, who is on the D.C. in the D.C. district, federal judge in D.C., who seems to keep getting these controversial cases involving the administration. He's the guy who's presiding over the whole Michael Flynn thing.
Which,
of course, is now moot because he's been pardoned, but still. And he's pulled a couple of other cases that are these, like, hot-button cases, and this is one of them. So he said, you cannot kick these kids out like this. And the U.S. government said, we'll see about that. And they're appealing now.
Well, there are some activists who call themselves the Reclaimers who have moved into the vacant homes in El Sereno. Well, they're not there anymore. Because the CHP officers removed some homeless people who were in those homes. And remember, this is all part of that project that Caltrans was going to do on the 710, and now they're not going to do it, but they had already bought a bunch of those homes that were there. So now those homes are just sitting empty. So people are saying, all right, well, we've got a homeless problem. So these families moved into these different homes. But Caltrans is saying the reason that we had to get the CHP there to get these people off state property is that those homes aren't habitable. That they are they're not safe for people to be in. And that's why they got them out. So now they are looking at maybe ways that, all right, the freeway project has been canceled through that area. Is there a way to make those homes habitable and possibly homes, low income housing? Maybe. We'll see if that's. Sure. But for now, those people got yanked out on Thanksgiving Day.
50 CHP cars. 50. Man, oh man, that is a heck of a deployment.
And we knew that it was coming. And so I wonder if the CHP got a heads up that since they knew that the word was out,
they didn't know what they were going to get.
Right. They knew there were going to be protesters, obviously. So maybe that's why there was such a big response.
Oh, no doubt. Because they could have rolled up and beat thousands of protesters there to try to stop them.
Yeah.
The police commission has ruled that a certain fatal shooting was justified. A unanimous decision by the police commission. This is the case of Victor Valencia, who was shot by an LAPD officer who responded to calls of a guy waving a gun around. And he shows up and there's the guy waving the gun around. Shoots him. Turns out, of course, was not a gun. It was a bicycle part. But it was a bicycle part that everybody agreed looked like a gun. All the witnesses at the scene all said, oh, he's got a gun, he's got a gun, he's got a gun. So this is one of the problems with these situations. When an officer responds, until they arrive, they only know what they've been told. So he goes in, oh, everybody's saying this guy's waving a gun around. So that's what's on his mind. Anyway, if this police commission unanimously says it was justified, it was justified.
Can we end with the very last story? It's your story about Bubba. Bubba the
Butterball.
Oh,
my goodness. Bubba.
Sweet
okay.
Bubba.
Well, at least one turkey did not end up on somebody's plate. In fact, this turkey is now at an animal sanctuary. Bubba the turkey, who I'm sure was not named Bubba before this happened, was found walking by the side of the road, and he's fat. Because he's one of these turkeys that have been bred, a genetically modified line of turkeys, bred to gain tremendous weight quickly. But I think he escaped. I'm pretty sure that's what happened here. He escaped somehow, and he's kind of limping along the road, and he's way too heavy, you know, for his turkey feet. And he was found. But anyway, he's at this animal sanctuary now, so he'll be okay.
Oh, I hope somebody writes like a children's book.
Bubba the Turkey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, somebody out there.
Who ends up with diabetes. Bubba the Turkey takes his insulin every day at 2 p.m.